Good morning. Would you find your seat, please? Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We'll be reading starting in verse 30. While you're finding that passage and finding your seat, I want to remind you of what happened in the book of Nehemiah. Ezra the scribe was asked to bring the book and read the law to the people of God. And it says, as he opened the book to read, all the people stood. You've received so much media this week, a million Facebook posts, 100 Instagram pictures, countless hours of Netflix. This is different. You didn't stand for any of that stuff. We stand to hear the word of the living, holy God. So receive this as the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. They said, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish? Then he commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. And he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word and may be seated.
The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I had the privilege this past Monday and Tuesday to go with my wife, Nathan and Katie Smith, and about 50 other couples to a local retreat for pastors and their wives. And the whole focus and the goal of this retreat was to show appreciation and to give encouragement to pastors and their wives. In particular, to encourage them in their faith and to cause them to persevere, to stay the course, to be faithful in the ministry that God has given to them. And when we were there, we were able to just converse with different pastors and their wives. And we were reminded that even shepherds need to be shepherded. And there were some pastors and their wives who were just being honest and vulnerable and saying, this is where I'm at. This is my sorrow. This is my struggle. There are stresses and strains. There are difficulties and challenges. They're overwhelming me. And while I think that there are unique challenges to pastoral ministry, I do not think that challenges are unique to pastoral ministry. That is, everyone in this room, you all have challenges and struggles, stresses and difficulties in your life. You have unique challenges in your life right now, which means that every one of us is in need of shepherding. What I want to do this morning is the same thing that was the goal at the retreat, just to encourage you so that you would continue, that your faith would be strengthened, that you would continue following Jesus all the way. I think that's actually Mark's goal in giving us this passage, in recording this account of Jesus doing so much with so little. He's putting before the people Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, so as to encourage them and strengthen their faith, causing them to continue to follow Jesus, to love him, to rest in him, to worship him more and more. See, we are all creatures. Therefore, we need our Creator. We are dependent, and we need our shepherd. We are helplessly and hopelessly in need of shepherding. We all grow weary and tired, and so we need shepherding that would bring us into rest. We all lack knowledge of the truth and understanding of ourselves and of God and of this life. And we have faulty thinking and false beliefs and skewed values. We're in need of shepherding with the truth. We have bodies that get sick, that get hurt, and that die. And we're in need of shepherding that brings comfort and healing and life. We are often short-sighted and misfocused, and so we are in need of shepherding that gives us guidance and wisdom for life. And we have others who need us, who depend upon us, others who are calling on us to shepherd them. And so we're in need of shepherding that would strengthen and sustain and give us supernatural help so as to help others. We need a kind of shepherd that will help us shepherd others, especially when we have very little. We might feel we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we say, "How can I feed so many?" And he says, "Come to me, and I will help you." We are dependent creatures with needs and desires. And in and of ourselves, we do not have the resources or the abilities to meet those needs and satisfy those desires. Only Jesus. Only Jesus, who is the great shepherd of the sheep, can powerfully, wisely, and compassionately care for us as we need. The problem, though, is not only that we are in great and desperate need of shepherding, but that even as Christians, we too often think and feel and live like we are sheep without a shepherd. So I'm going to tell you just 2 very basic fundamental truths today. And by these truths, I hope that they will encourage you and that they will stir you, that they will comfort you, and they will convict you. And these 2 truths are simply that we need a shepherd. And 2, that Jesus is the shepherd that we need. He is the great shepherd. Jesus knows how. He is able, and he is willing, and he is committed to caring for his sheep. And I'm going to show you how Jesus is this great shepherd, the only great shepherd that we're to go to, that we're to follow, and how he is actually the great shepherd that God has been promising and prophesied about throughout all the Old Testament, and particularly that Jesus is the great shepherd pictured in Psalm 23. So you can turn to Psalm 23, keep your finger in Mark 6, because we're going to be going back and forth between these two, and I want to connect these verses for us. So starting in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." See the connection of this in verses 30 through 32 of Mark 6. The apostles returned to Jesus. They were out being sent by him to share the good news, to preach the message of repentance and to cast out demons and to heal those who were sick. And maybe they were gone for days, maybe weeks, we don't know exactly. But they returned to Jesus, and they told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many who were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. He makes them lie down in green pastures." And literally so even. Look here in verse 39. "Then he commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass." Jesus is a shepherd that says, "You need to rest." And he leads them to it. In this passage, Jesus, the great shepherd, cares for his disciples by guiding them to and giving them rest. I wonder this morning if you are in need of rest. Are you tired physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Are you weary, exhausted, and worn out? There is a shepherd. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So come to Jesus, the great shepherd. He powerfully, wisely, and compassionately cares for his sheep by giving them rest. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And look at Mark 6, 33 through 34 and see how this connects. It says, Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus, the great shepherd, cares for the crowd by giving them soul-restoring and righteous truth of God. That's what he's teaching them. Are you in need of knowledge this morning? Are you in need of understanding more about how to interact with other people in relationships, or how this life works, or what will become of me today or tomorrow or in 10 years or 1,000 years? Are you in need of focus this morning? How to have the right perspective on a certain issue or relationship or aspect of life? Are you in need of correction, correcting in your thinking or in your feeling or in your valuing of things? Are you in need of strength? Strength to obey the Lord, strength to persevere, strength to overcome sin? Are you in need of comfort? Comfort from loss or pain or suffering? Maybe you need to be stirred this morning, stirred up because you are lacking motivation and vigor to pursue him. Are you in need of sanctification or growth of any kind? Then come to Jesus. He is a master teacher. And through his word, he will restore you and he will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Come to Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. He powerfully, wisely, and compassionately cares for his sheep by keeping them from going astray. Psalm 23, starting at verse 4, going on into verse 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that is when death overshadows and is threatening us, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Connect this to Mark 6, 35 to 41. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. The hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. Two things are happening here. One, Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, is caring for the crowd by giving them supernatural healing. We know that because of the parallel passages in Matthew and in Luke. And we're in verse 34 when it says, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. It says that he also healed their diseases. Those who need curing, he gave it to them. Supernatural healing of sickness. But what is sickness? But the shadow of death. It's reminding you that you are mortal. You get hurt. You bleed. You get sick because one day you will die. Death is just sickness when it's all grown up and has its full effect. And so he says, even when in the shadow of death, I will not fear evil because Jesus is this kind of shepherd. He can heal the sick. The second thing he does here is he supernaturally provides them with food. And it's hard for us, I think, to think this way. He prepares a table before them in the presence of his enemies. He prepares a table before them in a desolate place, right, where there's no restaurants, there's no grocery stores, no vending machines. He does it supernaturally. And
It's hard for us to imagine how important this is and how wonderful this is, because we have such a readily, a huge amount of food available to us all the time. But just imagine, or just think of this reality. You are constantly burning fuel. You're always using the food you have eaten. And even as you are eating and taking in fuel and replenishing yourselves, you're actually burning energy, which is telling you that you need to eat. You're a dependent creature. God made it to where you don't just eat a meal once and done. You have to eat over and over and over again. And we think about lunch while we're eating breakfast. And at lunch we're saying, what's for supper? I know preachers aren't supposed to talk about food when I'm preaching, but listen. The fact is, if you don't eat for very long, you will die. The fact that you need to eat reminds you of your mortality. And when you get hungry, that is a faint shadow of death. But Jesus knows how to feed his sheep, as he does here, miraculously. So this morning, are you sick? Are you hurting? Are you in discomfort? Are you hungry, or are you worried about food? Are you financially stressed? Are you anxious about either sickness or and health, or about provision and security of money or retirement? Then come to Jesus. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, and he powerfully, wisely, and compassionately cares for his sheep by providing for them, supernaturally so. Look at Psalm 23, the last part of verse 5 into verse 6. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at Mark 6, 42 through 44. They all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. You got to put this miracle in perspective here. We have four aspects to it. The first is in the breaking of the loaves and the dividing of the fish. Steve, this is Jesus kind of math, where you actually divide fish and it multiplies. And he breaks it up and they have enough for 5,000 men. And in Matthew it says that there were 5,000 men besides women and children. Now that Greek word could mean as in addition to, there are also women and children. So there could have been one woman for every man, so that's 10,000. One child for each woman, one child for each man. That could have been 20,000 plus people. But regardless, even if you have only 5,000 men to break this up, the first part is it was able to be divided and therefore multiplied to them all, such that in verse 42, they all ate. How do you have at least 5,000 people and have only 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and they all get even a tiny morsel of anything to eat? That's miraculous. But that's not all they got. It says they were satisfied. They didn't just have a nibble or a bite. They had a meal. Each of them were filled to satisfaction. And beyond that, verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. They had more at the end than they had at the beginning. Jesus, the great shepherd, cares for the crowd and his disciples by feeding them, by satisfying them, by giving more at the end than they had at the beginning, and in all of that, revealing more of himself to them. That's what he's doing, by the way. He's not just saying, I want to care for you. He doesn't just want them to be shepherded. He doesn't even just want to shepherd them. He wants them to know that he's the one that shepherded them. But they were satisfied because they met the shepherd, the great shepherd. Are you bored with life? Are you struggling with discontentment? Thinking there must be more? What am I missing? Or are you worried about the future and saying, will mercy and goodness follow me all the days of my life? So come to Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, who powerfully, wisely, and compassionately cares for his sheep by feeding them, by satisfying them, and by giving them more at the end of their life than they ever had at the beginning. He promises. But maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, it's just not, none of those are really me. I'm actually doing really well right now, thanks. I mean, I'm not tired, I'm not hurting, I'm not sick, I'm not worried, I'm not bored, I'm not hungry, I'm doing great. Then praise God. Like, be encouraged by that your shepherd loves you that much that he blessed you. rest in that, rejoice in that, and then continue to follow him because he's worthy of it. Continue to follow the great shepherd in order to glorify him by enjoying more of your experiencing him and all of his greatness, because that's what you're doing. It's not just that he's given you great things. It's not just that you've experienced greatness. You're experiencing him in all of his greatness. Why do I keep saying he's the great shepherd? The Bible says that he's the great shepherd. But I love this passage in Micah chapter 5, verse 4. Right after verse 2, where it talks about that little town of Bethlehem, that from that town of Bethlehem will come a ruler, the Messiah, the promised Christ, the King. In connection with that, it says, and this ruler from Bethlehem, he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. That's his greatness. And in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, that is his greatness. And they shall dwell secure. The sheep of the shepherd shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Do you want to be satisfied? No amount of food, no amount of entertainment, no amount of seeing great miracles will do it. But being near Jesus will. He is great. So go to him and follow him as your shepherd. But that begs the question, how does he shepherd us today? I mean, we get Mark 6, that he's there in their presence. He's actually teaching them, talking to them, touching them, breaking open the loaves and the fish and saying, hey, this is what you should do. And it's just very practical, and it seems to be real life, right? So how does he shepherd us today? Very simply, in two ways. Through his works and through his words. Just like he has always done. That's how Jesus shepherds us, through his works and through his words. First, he shepherds us through his supernatural works of providential and miraculous care in our everyday lives. Jesus shepherds us through his supernatural power of working providentially, like just in everyday, ordinary life, and even through miracles for us. Miracles are more rare, but he still does them. And he does work providentially, that is, in every day through means, in every area of life, whether it's how you ate this morning or how you're in a building with heat and with shelter, or how you have friends and family and relationships and health and the sunshine and a billion other blessings. Jesus, your shepherd, has given them to you. He providentially cares for his sheep. Often this is an answer to prayer. We ask him to care for us. We ask him for our daily bread. We ask him for things. We ask him for healing. We ask him for provision. And you know what? Sometimes he doesn't give it the way we ask or when we ask. But he always gives it in the perfect way and timing. His rod and his staff, they do comfort us. Surely goodness and mercy, even when it doesn't seem like it to us, they are pursuing us and chasing us down because the shepherd is a great shepherd. All right, so if this is how he shepherds us in one sense, by his works, his providential work in our everyday lives at caring for us, how are we to respond to that? Let me give you two bad ways that are too common, and then give you the right way we should respond. One bad way to respond to Jesus shepherding us through his providential works and his great, even miraculous works is the thanks but no thanks attitude. Now, we might not say this out loud, thanks Jesus but no thanks, but that might be our attitude at times. Or our actions, or we live independently from him. This is the kind of thinking that, well, we need to be grown up, right? Mature, responsible. We need to be, Americans where we're independent and can take care of ourselves. And it creeps into our theology, and we actually think that it's mature to be self-sufficient. But that's the opposite. We say, young people, they need Jesus to shepherd them really a lot. New Christians, yes. Immature Christians, but not us mature Christians. That's the opposite of what's true. The mature Christian realizes his dependence all the more, embraces it, and clings to Jesus all the more tightly. That's maturity. When you're saying, I can't do it on my own. I need the great shepherd. Look at Mark 6, verses 35 and 36, and we see this kind of analogously illustrated here, where he says, when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Now, don't get on to the disciples here. I don't think they were doing something wrong. They were being practical. They were wanting to care for and provide for people, loving them well, having compassion on them, even though they were tired and coming to rest. But still, I think we can see an illustration of this, that Jesus goes, why do they need to leave the shepherd to be provided for? No, I'll take care of them. Let's get some food. You are my disciples. You give them something to eat, and I will provide for them miraculously. So don't walk around with this attitude of, I don't need Jesus' help. I've graduated from that. There's no possibility of that. If you have that idea, that mindset, then you're saying that he isn't that important, that he isn't that vital. But he is. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and apart from him, we can do nothing of any value. Look at verse 41, the first part. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he, Jesus, the great shepherd, the divine Son of God in the flesh, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. He gave thanks to his Father for what he had provided. Those who are in this kind of, mature, quote unquote, this thanks but no thanks attitude, they're not very thankful. Why? Because they think they've done it all themselves. We must not mistake our successes as merely our successes, our accomplishments, our provisions, our blessings that we brought upon ourselves. Yes, we must work, and we've worked hard. But Jesus, make no mistake, has shepherded us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? Answer, nothing. So why do you act as if and boast as if you did not receive it from your shepherd? He's provided for us. He has blessed us. He is that compassionate to care for us. But the other bad response to Jesus shepherding us through his providential work of care is not just this no thanks attitude, but the sit back and relax attitude. The sit back and relax in action, where we call it, spiritual. Like, it's really spiritual to sit back and do nothing and let Jesus take care of everything. But that's not faith. That's presumption. He hasn't called us to do that. That's not mysticism. That's not biblical Christianity. Look at verses 37 and 38. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. Well, they weren't going to do the miracle. He was. But he says, I'm including you in this. Not because he needed them, because they needed him. And they said to him, shall we go and buy? Like, should we just go buy food? Is that what you're asking us to do? Is this how you're going to provide for them? When they had found that then he said, go and check out how much loaves of bread we have. And they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he's like, that's what we can use. We'll do that. We'll be there. He's saying, you must do something. I'm calling you to follow me, not just to sit there and me drag you. You say, I don't need to do things for Jesus. I mean, because he's sufficient. Then you've got the wrong theology, the wrong mindset. He isn't requiring anything from me. That's not biblical Christianity. This leads to a kind of lazy negligence where we're not really seeking the Lord. We're not seeking him for help or for guidance. Again, look at verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. I know that he has and he is what we need. So they seek him. Look at verse 35. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, you're the great shepherd. How do we take care of these people? We need your help. That's what we do. When people are depending upon us, we say, I got nothing left. He says, come to me, and I will help you. You might think you only have 5 loaves or 2 fish, but I will provide through you. Don't say, I don't have the time to seek Jesus in prayer right now. I don't have the energy to do that. I just need to veg out and do nothing. What you're saying then is that he isn't worth my time. He's not worth my energy. That there are other things more important, other things better. I prefer other things than Jesus. You're acting as if he isn't commanding you to seek him, but he says, ask, seek, and knock. Come to him. Pursue him. Those are the wrong ways of responding to Jesus and his providential care as a shepherd. The right way is to thank him. When you wake up tomorrow morning, shoot up a prayer of thanks and say, you sustained me. You gave me rest. Even if it was 30 minutes of sleep, God did that. Jesus shepherded you. You kept the world spinning when I did nothing. Jesus, thank you. You hold the world together, the universe, by the word of your power. Thank him. And then trust him. Trust him for his providential care throughout the day. He's going to continue to be your shepherd and care for you. So ask him to help you, to trust him, and pray. Pray, ask him to bless you. Ask him to take care of you. Ask him for what you need. I love verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. When you've worked all day long, you've taken care of things and of other people, maybe your own kids or your spouse all day long, and you're ready just to sit down and do nothing at the end of the night. And you say, I just need to go away by a desolate place by myself and just rest. And somebody goes, hey, I need you. What do? If you're like me, you often sigh, roll your eyes, or groan. Jesus doesn't. He has compassion on them. You can pray the same prayer over and over and over again. And he says in Luke, he welcomes them. He has compassion on you. He knows this. Listen, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, when you pray to him, you're saying, Jesus, I have nobody else but you. And he goes, I know. And I won't leave you without a shepherd. He has compassion on us. So ask him for what you need. So when you get up in the morning, get down on your knees and thank him, trust him, and ask him for help. That's how you respond to him as the great shepherd who shepherds us through his providential care. But he also shepherds us not only by his works, but by his word. So if we're seeking him in his word, we're reading, we're listening, how do we respond? Let me give you one bad way and the right way. The bad way to respond to Jesus when he shepherds you through his word is that I'm not doing that kind of attitude. Maybe you don't say that. Maybe you have. Don't ask me to go there. Don't ask me to do that, Jesus. I'm not doing it. Or maybe at least you have that action where you pretend that you didn't hear, that it wasn't for you, that it wasn't that big of a deal, that there's other things you got going on. So you have all these excuses. I'm not doing that kind of attitude. It's just faithless disobedience. Look at verses 38 through 41. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. That's a command. And what do they do? They go and they find out. We have five and two fish. Then he commanded them to all sit down in the groups, in groups on the green grass. And they sat down, verse 40. In verse 41, he breaks the bread. He gives it to the disciples and he says, set this before the people. And they obey. They do it. But the disciples were coming out to rest. They're the ones who didn't even have leisure to eat. And they want, Jesus, you want me to take all this food? I'm hungry. I've been serving you. They're just wanting something from you. And I've been serving you, and you want me to go and serve them again? And he says, yes. Obey. And they do. They do. Charles Spurgeon, I'm going to paraphrase him. He once said that our shepherd is infinitely good, and his will is love. So it should not be hard to follow a shepherd who is too wise to err and too good to be unkind. It should not be hard to follow him. He is infinitely good. His will is love. He's too wise to err, and he's too good to be unkind. But alas, sometimes it is hard to follow him, isn't it? Why? Because we don't trust him. We don't really believe enough, firmly enough, how good he is and how wise he is. We think we know better. We're saying, I don't really want to do that. I don't trust you, really. But he's worthy to be trusted in. He's worthy to be obeyed. And so how do we respond? We should respond by seeking him in his word, in humility and in faith. That is, you read it. You read books about it. You talk about it with your friends and family and church members. You talk about it with strangers saying, this is what God has been showing me. You seek his word through preaching and through reading, through listening, and you seek it in humility and in faith. That means you say, I need from you what I don't have. I need you to teach me. So seek both for teaching and guidance. Don't just open the Bible and say, all right, should I wear the green shirt or the blue shirt today, Jesus? That's not what it's about. It's saying, I need you to teach me how to think, how to believe, how to value things, how to view this world, and therefore how to live. That's often how he guides us, is by seeking him. Yes, you can open the Bible and look for questions to your answers, but oftentimes we don't even know the right questions. So come to the Word of God. Have a plan and say, would you teach me? Maybe what I don't know, I need to know. Come in humility and come in faith, trusting Him. That His Word is true, it's good, it's right, and it's wise to follow Him. And then you obey Him because you trust Him. You seek His Word in humility and faith, and then you obey Him because of that faith. You say, okay, let's just break this down. This seems really basic. Jesus is the shepherd, we're the sheep. We're to trust Him, we're to thank Him, we're to pray to Him, we're to seek Him in His Word, trust His Word, and obey His Word. That seems very fundamental, right? That's the basis of Christianity. Yes, it is. But you want to know where 99% of your life is lived? Right there at that basic level, the intersection between Jesus being the shepherd and us being the sheep. That's what we're called to do. That's how we live. And my encouragement today is that you would see Jesus as the great shepherd worthy to be trusted in because He has divine power, divine wisdom, and divine compassion for you. So trust Him. Praise Him. Obey Him. We are sheep in need of this great shepherd. And the good news is that Jesus, this great shepherd, still powerfully, wisely, and compassionately cares for His sheep. Yes, His weak, His foolish, sinful, needy sheep. But we must come to Him. We must come to Him humbly. We must come to Him in repentance and in faith. See, we must repent of trusting in other things that we would follow. Oftentimes we're trusting in ourselves, but that is what? A sheep following himself? It's a sheep without a shepherd, and that's a tragedy. It leads to disaster and to ruin, and it dishonors our great shepherd. So come humbly to Him in repentance and faith. You know, one other really amazing, amazing truth about Jesus as the great shepherd that makes Him so great? Is that in all of His divine power, in all of His divine wisdom, in all of His divine compassion, in all of His majesty and His glory, in all of His greatness, He willingly laid down His life for His sheep. There is no other shepherd so great as would do that and could do that in a way that provides life for the sheep, that provides forgiveness and freedom and cleansing and change, and provides eternal life for them. Jesus, the great shepherd, laid down His life, and then He took it up again. This communion meal points to that fact, that Jesus, this great shepherd, sacrificed Himself for sinful sheep like us. This morning, if you're not trusting in Jesus, if you're not wanting to follow Him, you're not trusting Him to be so good and wise and powerful and full of compassion for you, then don't come and partake of communion. Instead, you can sit where you're at and pray and ask Him to open your eyes to see Him for who He is. Or come, and I'll be in front of the stage. Pastor Steve, if you'll be in the back, or actually, no, you're holding a child. But you can come and you can pray. We would love to pray with you. Or you can connect with us afterwards. Put on a connection card that you want someone to talk with you about. And I don't care if you've been here, this is your first time, or if you've been here and heard the same message 100 times. If you don't really love Jesus, if you're not really trusting Him, then do it today. And if you are trusting in Jesus and you do follow Him, He is your great shepherd. You've had that faith in Him affirmed by other Christians in a local church through baptism. In just a moment, you can come up to one of these tables or go to the back to one of those and tear off a piece of bread and dip it in the juice that represents the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus, such that He, the great shepherd, laid down His life for you. And then He took it up again. So as to conquer every enemy, not just the shadow of death, but death itself, so that you have nothing to fear. If you want us to pray with you about anything, again, as long as the great shepherd allows us to be His under-shepherds, we'll be here for you to pray with you about anything. Whenever you're ready, for those who should come, please do.